Welcome everyone to the Investing in Real Estate Show. I'm Clayton Morris. So we've had a rough couple of months now, right? We've seen the US dollar on its decline. We've seen interest rates going up. We've seen the price of just about everything skyrocketing. We just came out of a Thanksgiving holiday where we saw the highest cost for a Thanksgiving meal in US history. So clearly things are not going in the right direction. But there is some good news. That is, if you are an investor, if you are an active investor, a real estate investor, then you are having more time in the market to build your portfolio. So one of the biggest questions that we get a lot is, well, should I just wait? You know, should I just wait till interest rates drop, or should I wait till the economy is different? Should I wait till, I don't know what? Because the bottom line is, it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. Very, very important. This weekend, and we're going to get to your Q&A questions here in a minute. It is Q&A Monday, so we will answer your questions here. You'll be able to call in by going to our website. Go to morrisinvest.com and click on the microphone icon, and you'll be able to leave us a voicemail question about real estate, taxes, whatever. But I spent quite a bit of time this weekend speaking to an investor friend of mine who invests in multiple companies, but also a lot of real estate. And so we were having a frank discussion about the economy. He said, what people don't understand is that people, if you're sitting on the sidelines, if you sit on the sidelines, you lose all of that time. Now, sure, interest rates will go up, they'll go down a little bit. But what you're losing then is your ability to build out a portfolio of properties, to build not only passive income, but to have that tax advantage now in this economy today. Because interest rates are kind of where they were in the mid-90s when we had a housing boom in the United States. So they're higher than they've been, but they're not so high like we saw in the 1980s, where you might say, well, I'm staying out of real estate altogether. I'm just going to put my money in some other asset class right now. There is still no asset class that provides the best tax benefits of real estate, both from a as an active and as a passive real estate investor, taking advantage of the depreciation on your taxes, or having that money grow tax-free inside of a self-directed account so you can take advantage of that at a retirement. And the benefit of a self-directed account, of course, is that the tenant's money coming into that property, into your self-directed account, you don't get to touch it. You don't touch it till you retire, but it all gets to grow tax-free. So again, just want to remind you, as we hear all of this news, a lot of people are struggling right now to even pay their home heating bills because they can't afford the expensive gas, the expensive home heating oil, and prices have skyrocketed. But the bottom line is people still need a place to live. And this is why we're seeing a return to the hard assets, real estate and precious minerals, the things that have sustained for 4,000 years. But still, nothing even comes close to real estate for all the tax benefits. You don't get the tax benefits with precious minerals. So just bear that in mind as you hear all of the news reports about, oh my gosh, people paying this for their turkey and this for their cranberry sauce this holiday season, and it's so much more expensive, and all of these layoffs are coming. As a smart investor, you can be watching the market and then jump in and make smart investments to build out your portfolio. But taking time away because you're somehow scared can really hinder you in the long run to get to your portfolio goals. Like if you have a five-year goal of hitting 3 or 4 properties that you're going to be buying and adding to your portfolio, well, what's the point in waiting a year while the economy does its thing? Like it's still your portfolio. You're still missing out on your time in the market. So just be very, very aware of that. It's not timing the market, it's time in the market. All right, so with that, we're going to get to your questions on this Monday, but I do hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving and got to spend some fun time with the family and relatives, wherever they happen to be. And we want to take your questions. It's very simple to go to our website, and when you leave a voicemail message, try to keep them to 30 seconds if you can. The longer, then we don't get enough time to answer other questions from people. So let's try to keep them short and sweet. All right, our first question comes to us from Tegan.
Hello, Clayton. This is Tegan. I have a HELOC for $100,000. My plan is to put $40,000 down on one of your single family homes. I talked to Haley the other day, and I'm on your list. And then I was going to take the other $40,000 and put it towards my primary mortgage, which is $280,000, which leaves a $20,000 as a buffer. what would you do in this situation?
Well, thank you so much, Tegan. Great question. So I am not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do with your money personally. I'm not a lawyer either. But I will say personally, if this was my situation and I had $100,000, okay, sitting there that I could deploy to add to my net worth by adding additional assets to my family, I wouldn't be hesitating to personally putting that towards buying a second investment property. That would be that, and that's what I've done actually. So, because now what you're doing is, I want you to think about it in terms of taxes. Because think about the tax benefits you're going to get by deploying that capital for an additional tax shelter, which is real estate. Now think about the depreciation. Now think about what you're able to do. And I don't know exactly your situation, Tegan. You know, are you buying it where you would get a, are you buying inside of a self-directed account? Are you doing it with a cost, you know, a cost segregation analysis? So there's some questions I have that you might want to ask Haley on our team about exactly some of that structure. But I just want you to understand, like, that down payment amount with the depreciation of that asset, you're getting a huge chunk of that back, right, in your taxes. So you're getting a huge amount of that money back, but now you've added an asset to your net worth column, right? So you live in a house where you've got a mortgage that you're paying. I don't know what the interest rate on that is, but I can tell you that is not a performing asset, right? The house that you live in is an asset. It's not a performing asset. You don't get the tax benefits. You don't get to claim depreciation on the property, right? You don't get any of that because you're living in the property. So it's not a performing asset. So personally, this is me again, personally, I wouldn't want to be throwing $40,000 at my primary mortgage and then I don't have anything to show for it at the end of the day. Now imagine you buy an additional rental property and you get not only the cash flow from that property, you could use the cash flow from that additional rental property to both either, you know, pay down that mortgage or pay down your primary mortgage that you live in. Additionally, you've got that $20,000 buffer that you talked about. You know, what if you used a portion of that to fire at your primary balance of your mortgage and sort of rinse and repeat, like we talked about in our book, How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 years. I think using that big of a chunk of it personally is not something that I would do. I would want to use a smaller amount. Now, the way that I paid off my primary mortgage in 5 years, and again, that's the book that we wrote, is we simply used a $10,000 strategy. Like, we were firing like a $10,000 amount at it consistently. And so instead of throwing like 40 or 50 at it at one time, we were throwing a smaller amount about at it, and we were able to rinse and repeat, just kind of kept it rolling in that with that strategy. So again, Tegan, I can't tell you specifically what to do. It's your money, but I just wanted to give you those options. That's personally how I look at it, because I'd be adding an additional property to my net worth column. I'm using the equity that you can't eat. You know, you can't eat equity. So I'm using the equity in that primary property to then bring in additional properties. Remember, the U.S. economy is built on debt. This is how billionaires are made. They're using the debt to build assets. You know, so they don't mind having debt as long as you're strategic about it and you're not over leveraged. So again, talk to our team about that, Tegan. But I think that's personally my strategy. So let me know what you think about it. I'd love to hear what you end up doing. So give us a call back and let us know. And then I should point out, we at Morris Invest help clients just like Tegan all day long. So if you're interested in investing in real estate, we are a full service rental real estate company. Minimum down payment on one of our properties is going to be right around what Tegan talked about, in that $40,000 to $50,000 range. And then we work with over 100 different lenders for the rest of it. It's all brand new construction rental properties built in the best rental markets in the United States, A-class school districts with tenants that want to stay many, many years. And then you get the full tax benefits of ownership of the property and are able to claim depreciation, do a cost segregation analysis if you fall into that category. So book a call with our team and we're happy to help you just like Tegan. All right, our next question comes to us from Shane, I think.
Hi, Clayton. I read your book on using a HELOC strategy to pay your primary residence off. I had a question. I just purchased a new property, which we just moved in, which unfortunately I don't have much equity in, but my previous property is worth 200,000 it's free and clear, getting ready to put into LLC and rent it out. Since it is going to be an LLC, is it going to be harder to get the HELOC? And also, would it be a bad idea for me to have my W-2 direct deposit deposited in that since it's an LLC now?
Okay. Once again, let me just say this. I am not a tax advisor. And so, you know, you just got to say all these things as disclaimers because I am not a financial advisor. I'm not a tax advisor. I'm not a CPA. So definitely, definitely, definitely talk to your CPA about commingling. This is very, very important. Okay. Because I don't know exactly your structure, Shane, but if you've got money going into a business account, obviously you don't want it going after in, you know, you don't want it going into an account under your own name, Shane's account, right? So you've got to make sure that you're not commingling business funds and personal accounts. Okay. So please talk to your CPA about the structure of that. You know, I think the question about having the, you know, using that money towards buying an additional property or putting that money, you're pulling the equity out of that house that's free and clear, it's not going to be a problem. Again, there's plenty of banks that are going to let you, you know, take a home equity line of credit out on an LLC. Okay. So again, I would recommend my friend Dan Krause, tell him I sent you at Churchill Mortgage. I'm not affiliated with him in any other way other than we're friends. And he's helped a lot of our clients over the years with home equity lines of credit under an LLC. So you don't have to worry about that. I would just reach out to him and ask him about that strategy and he can help you get structured on a, getting a home equity line of credit when it's in an LLC. Sometimes you're going to find it easier if it's still in your own name. So my question would be, if you're about to transfer it over to an LLC, wouldn't it make sense? Maybe you can grab the money now. Maybe you can get the home equity line of credit now and do it. And then you can do the quick claim deed later. Again, I'm not a lawyer, so you want to speak to the legal team about how they do the quick claim deed over to an LLC and get that structured. But again, it shouldn't be a problem. Dan has helped a lot of people. There's a lot of other companies as well out there that will help you get a home equity line of credit under an LLC. So don't let that stop you. But congratulations, Shane, man. You're really on the right track. That's fantastic. I'm applauding you. I love that you took action. You've paid off that primary, you paid off that house that's free and clear. You've taken action in that way. That's amazing. So good on you, Shane. Good on you. This episode is sponsored by Money App and the Triple Your Paycheck giveaway. Now, what would you do with Triple Your Paycheck? Well, you might just be able to find out because now through January 15th, Money App is giving away a total of up to $100,000 between 25 lucky winners in the Triple Your Paycheck giveaway. Now, here's how it works. If you sign up for a Money App account and every paycheck directly deposited into your Money App account from today through January 15th has the chance to be tripled if you are selected to win. Now, not just one paycheck. All directly deposited paychecks during the period are eligible. The more directly deposited paychecks that hit your account, the more you can win. Once again, each and every directly deposited paycheck that hits your Money App account between now and January 15th is eligible for your Triple Your Paycheck giveaway. So I ask again, what would you do with Triple Your Paycheck? Gifts for friends, maybe family during the holiday season, or take a well-deserved vacation? If you're one of the 25 winners, the possibilities are endless, and it's simple to enter. I highly recommend everyone listening to this show signs up for a Money App account so you're entered for a chance to win. Another great thing about Money App is with its high-yield interest checking, everyone's a winner. Money App now offers 3.25% APY interest checking on any balance with no minimums and no monthly fees, which means you'll be able to start earning money on each of those deposits you make, even if you're not a selected winner. If your money is currently in a traditional bank, earning little to no interest, or stored in one of those so-called future of banking apps, the truth is there's a better place to put your cash. Money App is an all-in-one personal finance app and offers a better way of banking with additional benefits, such as no monthly fees, no minimum balance, is FDIC insured up to $250,000 through Evolve Bank and Trust, no ATM fees, AI and machine learning technology for budgeting, and so much more. So download and sign up for the Money App today. If approved, fund your account, enter the Triple Your Paycheck giveaway. Once again,
every directly deposited paycheck that hits your Money App account from today through January 15th has the chance to be tripled by Money App. So visit www.moneyapp/investing to sign up for Money App. Again, that's www.moneyapp.app/investing. It's .app/investing. If approved, fund your account, enter the Triple Your Paycheck giveaway, and start earning interest on your cash today. No purchase necessary. So, Money App is a technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Evolve Bank and Trust, members FDIC. Money App checking account has no fees and a competitive 3.25% annual percentage yield on all balances. Visit money.app/investing for entry and eligibility details. Each winner is capped at $4,000. Sweepstakes offered and managed by Prague Services Incorporated, not Evolve Bank and Trust.
All right, our next question comes to us from Joshua.
Hey, Clayton. My name is Joshua Pavone. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and my wife and I own two properties. One of them is our primary residence. The second one is a rental. The home that's a rental is under my wife's name, and the other home is under my name. We want to get a HELOC on the home in Decatur and the 3-2-bedroom house that we're renting. And we are afraid that because she changed jobs last year for a lot less salary, that when we go and try to get a HELOC on this home, we may not be able to get it, and we may get a higher interest rate on it. I'm just afraid that we may not be able to get it. So I want to know, what do you think we should do? We think we have about $150,000 to $200,000 in equity in the home. So I think we could get some really good money out of it. But we're just kind of at a crossroads, not knowing what to do because of that home is under her name. We file taxes together, but that home is under her name. And then the home that we live in currently, our primary residence, is under my name. So just want to get your thoughts, see what we need to do. What do you think the best strategy for us to still get that HELOC? I mean, or can we even get the HELOC? Because they're going to see, the bank's going to see that she's getting paid less than her previous job. So we'd love to know your thoughts. Thanks so much for your help.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that, Joshua. So a couple of things. Number one, I just would absolutely shop around banks, okay? Banks want your business, and you just need to be, you know, don't let the first bank you call tell you you can't do something. Oftentimes it'll take you calling a number of banks. You may have to call 10 of them, 15 of them, right? Till you find the right one, to find the right fit. I really don't think her making less is going to have much effect on the interest rate, other than, you know, debt to income ratio, okay, is going to be the big one, and credit score. And you know, a couple of other factors, but really it's not going to come down to how much money is she making, how much, you know, is the dollar amount. It really is going to come down to debt to income ratio. Is she a risky borrower? You know, and are you able also then to co-sign on the loan? So a couple of things to consider, and these banks will structure things differently. Not every bank is the same. So there's certain banking, you know, banks will do something a certain way and others will do it totally differently. You just need to have a conversation with them about the property. So I wouldn't lead the witness. You know, I would call up the bank and say, here's the property. Here's my wife. We're interested in getting a home equity line of credit on this property. Can you help us? And find out what answers you start getting from the first or second or third bank that you call. Now, if you hit a wall with that, remember, there is the other part of this, which is the liability protection, right? You've got this other secondary home, which it sounds like you're turning it into a rental property, or it currently is rented or as a rental property. I'm going to tell you, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial advisor, but absolutely you're going to want to move that property out of your own name into an LLC for protection, for legal protection. So at some point you're going to want to do that. Now, if you do that now so that you have an LLC, then just like our last caller, you can feel free to call, you know, Dan Krause, or call the folks at Churchill Mortgage, call Flagstar Bank as well, and talk to them about, hey, now I've got an LLC. This owns the property. We're interested in getting a home equity line of credit. Now it's under the LLC umbrella. Two members, right? You and your wife. Different structure than it was just you, just as your wife. So my first step in this process would be to start calling banks and getting answers. Talk to a bunch of different banks. Again, do not let one bank give you one answer that you know maybe you'll strike gold on the first one. You know, you'll get on the phone with them and they'll say, yep, we can do it. No problem. Here we go. But you might have to call around. And then once you start to get a pattern of answers, then that's when you can start to maybe decide to make a pivot before that. So I would let the bankers tell you what they can do in this situation. But it sounds like you've got a great equity situation in this property, and I would absolutely leverage it to, personally, I would be acquiring other real estate, you know, using that leverage, using that equity to start buying other additional assets that are cash flowing and performing in some of the best rental markets in the country. So congratulations on you, and congratulations to all of you guys. I love, you know, everyone here today, Joshua, Tegan, and Shane, all doing some great work. So way to take action, guys. I'm really, that makes me so excited to hear you read material, you study, and you take action to build a portfolio of properties. So you can leave us a voicemail question. Go to our website, morrisinvest.com. And while you're there, remember, you can book a call with our team if you're ready to take action and become a real estate investor. Now is the time, my guys, right now. I'm telling you, before the end of the year is an amazing time for you to take some amazing tax benefits of going under contract and getting ready to buy your first rental property. So book a call with our team. We'll walk you through that whole process. Until next time, everyone, go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.